We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, pulpit minister for this congregation. We welcome you to our call and want you to know that we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right and the word of the Bible is right. There, we believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross there in Jerusalem, shed his blood and washed our sins away in baptism. The same blood purchased his church. And that blood continues to cleanse us on a daily basis if we walk in the light as he's in the light. And you want to be saved, you understand that you must obey the will of God, and that is to be born of the water and of the Spirit by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Then the Lord will add you to the only church you can read by the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. And that's where the saved are, according to Acts 2 and verse 47. Praise God and be with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, the only church, one church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. We hope you will receive that with meekness. If you're seeking truth, Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now watch this part. If the Father seeketh such. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but if you're seeking true worship, God is seeking you. And then you found it. You will understand why you're on this call. It's the providence of God providing you that opportunity to be obedient. Pray you do that this day, for tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Now, to those of our brothers and sisters across the nation joining us from the congregation, you are welcome guests as well. We pray that you too will be blessed from these services. I'm very excited to hear so many different brethren working in the services. Yeah. Awesome to know we have brothers who are willing to serve with us. We know this is a temporary situation. It's coming to an end soon. We'll be back at that building as God will answer our prayers. We believe that. The Bible said the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So to all the brethren who have served with us today, may God bless you for your willingness to be involved. To all those who organize our call, especially Brother Tim, Sister Matt Williams, very, very appreciative for their efforts to help us with this call. They're teaming up with our nationwide call as well as the call here on Sunday morning. It takes a lot of work to coordinate all these things. And we appreciate those who work in the background. Not only them, other people. Like really great pleasure, I think, about him. How many of you know how much he works during the week getting CDs and sent out to the world and those who are requesting them and also making them available along with him and others who are working diligently to make our effort to get the gospel out to the world. Success. We thank God for blessing us all. Now, we got so much stuff going on. You all, as was stated in the prayer, we just a lot of things going on that are unprecedented things. This world is in a shambles. We know that. We've come through a tough pandemic that we're up against. We hate to think of it, could turn into a World War III nuclear situation, but we need to know who's in control. And I think with this lesson this morning, I want to point us to God. And I pray you'll receive it with meekness. So I hope and pray this morning that you can take the message to heart and apply it to your personal life. And it is to lift up your eyes. And this is a great psalm. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. This is Psalms 121st division, starting in verse 1. So who will call on the call this morning can see your personal situation as a need of help from the Lord? Maybe perhaps you've forgotten where your help come from. And who here need to be reminded to lift up your eyes? David said that. So I'm asking you this morning to think in terms of lift up your eyes and lifting up your eyes to God by faith. David said, I will lift up my eyes. We all have a mind's eye. This is not the physical eye where you look up and see sky, but it's talking about the mind, mind's eye, what we believe. Where's your belief system? Where's it coming from? Very important for us to know our belief system comes not by seeing. It comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, and it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when I'm preaching the word of God, now this is development of your mind's eye of faith. This is what we're talking about. We talk about lift up your eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, Paul says, and not by sight. So we're not talking about physical eyes. We're talking about the mind's eye. So in order to use the mind's eye, you have to have a clear focus on where to look for help in time of need. What I'm pointing you to this morning throughout this lesson is a faith look at God. A faith look. When you look at your marriage, it's a faith look for help from God. Whatever you're going through with your children, it's a faith look. Help with your children. Help with depression. Help when you get that death call of a loved one, and certainly we all gonna get it. It's going to take you into a state of grief and mourning. But where are you going to look for your help then? He said, what about your bad doctor report? What if it comes back, your doctor report comes back, and you fear a positive result because you fear that result? Where are you going to look at? How are you going to deal with that matter? What about when someone is sick in the hospital and you are there and you can't do anything? It's in the hands of the doctors and the nurses and those caring for your loved one, or perhaps it's even you on your sick bed, and you're now handicapped. You can't do for yourself. You're dependent on others. As my mother said in her golden years, it's good to get old, but it's very hard. Life is tough when you have to have someone else taking care of you, your health, your hygiene, and those things of that nature. Where do you look for? That's what I want to think about. I'm trying to come into your home. What about someone with a guilty conscience of a past that you know you weren't what all you used to be, what all you should have been for God, but today you're trying to do better, and you keep looking back. Well, now I'm trying to say that you got to stop looking back and start looking up. You got to look up. You got to look at it with eyes of faith. What about someone who's dealing with an unforgiveness matter? You have an issue in your life. It's hard for you to forgive that person. You got to readjust. You're looking at the person when you need to look up. You got to lift up your eyes. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. What about when you got financial burdens and troubles? What do you look for? Where are you looking for help from? You don't go to 5 different jobs. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Why are you chasing the paper, as the young people say? You're chasing the paper rather than looking up. Looking up by faith. What about if your child is pregnant? You wouldn't expect when it came. It's a deal now. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with the pregnancy. You got to deal with whatever is going on in your life. What about somebody who's at near point of giving up today? You may be on the call today, and you're at that point. You've pretty much given up. You've thrown your hands up. But you're on the call today. Why? Is God giving you this chance to look up and stop looking down? It seems that many people can lose focus very easily at a time like what we're going through. It's a time when God is saying, look to me. Look to me. God is telling us through these deaths of everybody, through the pandemic, through the world events, God is allowing this stuff to happen. Don't y'all know Putin cannot even breathe without God letting him breathe? Just like to mention it about Pharaoh. Putin in Russia cannot even breathe God's air, but God is allowing this. Why? There are so many people who turn against God. America's turning against God. They're trying to turn us to homosexuality. They're trying to turn us to all these different things, abortion and homosexuality and all the things that are going on in this world. We got people telling us that the world won't go in the government as if they're prophets and things. We're listening to these. God is doing something in this world. What I'm trying to get us to see. We, as Christians, we look up. We look up. We don't look to the White House. We don't look to the leaders of this world. We look up. We know who's in control. The forces of evil are involved in everything that we're seeing going on that's negative in this world. It's always been in existence. He's called Satan, Apollyon. He's called that old devil. He's called the serpent. Don't misunderstand what we're dealing with in this world. We're dealing with powers and principality and powerful places, and that guy is called Satan himself, brothers and sisters. So when we're dealing with, when we see things going on in this world, do not lose sight of the fact that we got to put the whole armor of God on and deal with this matter. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're up against principalities, we're up against powers, we're up against the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm saying today, that's Ephesians chapter 6, where I quoted verse 12, but what I'm saying this morning is that I don't know what your current situation is, you do. But I want you to do this for me this morning. I want you to look not at the world, look not at anything else, but look at your current situation and ask yourself, where am I looking for my help? David said, personally, he says, I lift up my eyes. This is talking about a man who was an adulterer, a murderer. His son raped his daughter, and his own son tried to kill him. He had a dysfunctional family, but then David came back and said, I will lift up my eyes. I look up. David said, I look to the hills. Why the hills? Why the hills? Because hills and mountains are used figuratively in the Bible. You have to look up to see a mountain. You have to look up to see a hill. David said, I looked up to the hills. I say this morning, whoever had your head down in the figurative sense, that you are not looking up to God now. You have almost given up, or you barely looking at God. You put your faith in men. You put faith in political leaders. Or let me say, I'm saying to all of us, it doesn't matter who's in our life that may be influential. It doesn't matter who it is, Brother Brooks or no one else. We all are under the hand of God, and God can deal with man whenever he chooses to. Here's the deal. I'm trying to say, that there's a whole lot of life situations that we're all going to go through. No doubt in my mind that many of you on this call are going through a life situation, a life crisis of some type. But you got to look up. I'm trying to point you back to God. Because David said, my help coming from the Lord. It comes from, why? He said, and then he got very specific. He said, my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth past it. He done it. He was the creator. David says, I look to the one. When I look up, I'm looking at God who was the creator of heaven and earth. I look to the God who set the light, said, let there be light, and it was. David said, I look up to the God who hung the moon and the stars in the fair blue skies. David said, I'm looking up to the one who hung the starry chandeliers of heaven we call stars. The God he looks to is the one that the wind and the sea obey at his command. Thunders from his voice, the lightning bolts that he sends through the rain and the storm. The God who made us, mankind, from the dust of the earth. He said, from dust we came and dust we will return. That's the God he's looking up to. The God that he looked to unto the hills he's talking to us about is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of Noah that built the ark when God sent the great deluge of water from the sky that man had never seen before. Noah moved and built the ark. That was Noah's God. He's talking about the God of Moses, who parted the Red Sea for his children. God's children were delivered from bondage from a Pharaoh like Putin. God told them when they got to the Red Sea, they thought they had God's people, but Moses told them to stand still and see. They saw the parting of the Red Sea with their physical eyes. We got to stand still and wherever we think we are trapped. And through our eye, we got to see God part the Red Sea so we can cross over on dry land. The God who David was talking about is the God that rained down manna from heaven for the children of Israel to eat when they didn't have nothing else to eat. The God of David who helped him kill the lion and the bear all by his hand. He fought Goliath. He fought the giant. David was a little red, ruddy youth, the giant thought. But he reached into the brook. He got him five smooth stones. Notice this now. He had five smooth stones in his bag. He took out a slingshot. He put one stone in that slingshot. The giant was so much bigger than him. He just started whipping that slingshot. And he released one stone, and the giant fell. God gave him four more than he needed. He only needed one. Why is that? Why was God there for David that day, because David knew where to look. He looked to the hill from which cometh help. And he's talking about the God of Joshua. That's what he's talking about. The God of Joshua, when they was in a battle in Joshua chapter 10, and they thought they was outnumbered. And God, because of Joshua, God stopped the sun in midair, and the moon still stood still for a whole day, so they could win that war. At the request of his manservant, God stopped the sun in the midair, and the moon stood still in the valley of Adullam. What about Daniel? I'm talking about Daniel's God. Y'all know about Daniel, don't you? Let's go over there and read a story about Daniel. Turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 3. Let me show you a fake hero story of one who kept his eye on God. And Daniel was one. And it was a gentleman called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Genesis chapter 3:8. Turn there briefly. I'll read it to you, and you listen to the power of God when men can look to the hill from which cometh the help. Bible says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dual climber, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the God, golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And then the Bible said, there are certain Jews who are set over the affairs of the province. Here they are, Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They not serve. Put yourself now. Are you like them? They are not going to serve the God of this world, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and full fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commanded to bring them, these men, before the king. Yes, he did. And here it is. Here it is. Here we go. Here we go. Watch when these men stood before him, the forces of evil. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, it is true. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not ye serve my God, or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, ye be ready. At what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, cymbal, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Who is that God? This is the one I'm talking about. They ask him, who is that God? This Nebuchadnezzar said, who is he? This is the word David been telling us about this morning, that delivered you out of the hands of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew where their help came from. They answered and said unto king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. There's no bothering us to answer this question about this matter, who our God is. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He would deliver us out of that hand, O king. But if not, see, they walk by faith. They say, it's still God's decision. What's going on in your life is still God's decision. If it don't go your way, they said, but if not, these are men of faith, men who had their eyes focused on God, knowing God was in control of everything that was getting ready to happen. They said to him, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They spoke with confidence. He would deliver us out of our head, O king. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fear and form. His visage was changed against Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. I mean, he's very upset at them. His countenance changed. Therefore, he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace seven times more than it wanted to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fire. And you can look at these men and just seven times harder than that old Satan himself trying to get you to leave your God. He tried to get you to take you, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're going through. I went down on this. The devil don't want you to look to God for your help, my brothers and sisters. He don't want us to look to God. He wants us to know we are outnumbered. He wants to believe that we can make it. These men were bound in their coats, their housing, their hats, and other garments were cast into the midst of burning fire for him. He tried to take us all down. That's what Satan is doing. Then he said, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, even the men who took him up there. He took them out. first, then this is God already working. So God is already working in your behalf, getting ready to take out the enemy as long as you keep your eye on him. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselor, did we not cast three men bound into this midst of the fire? Watch faith happening here, you all. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. The king said, we put three, something done happened. Somebody's intervening in this situation that I'm going to put these men to death. They're going to burn up. But there's somebody else in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the heat, where it's hot, where the enemy got them. He's out there with those three men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God has intervened in their lives. This is you right now in your life. Just remember, there's always the fourth one who will stand by you and deliver you. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Don't start identifying. He's identifying there's someone more powerful than him right now. He said, come forth, come hither. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, the kings, and counselors then gathered together, saw these men upon whom the bodies, the fire had no power, nor were the hair of the head singed. The fire did not even touch the hair. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell. They couldn't even it's like they never went into the fire. God has such a seal around it. That's what happened when we are true to God. God, when we obey God, brothers, sisters, when we become members of the Church of Christ, when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you become sealed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit of promise. God puts a hedge around, like he did Job. His hedge dim in his fire, and they felt nothing. When you're a child of God, you keep your eyes looking to God. You don't feel the pains of this world because you know God is in control. And then it says the princes and governors and captains, kings, counselors gathered together, saw these men upon whom the fire had no power. Hair was not seen, coats were changed, smell of fire had no power. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, have changed the king's word, and yield their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own. Look how powerful this was. Therefore, he said, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and the house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver this after this song. Oh, he came to understand. He came to understand that who their God. Let's look at another one. Turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 6 now. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Let's look at Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den. Let's listen. Now, you can go back and read these, but I'm just going to read them to you and make some applications here. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. Chapter 6, excuse me, verse 1. Notice this. Just turn over to chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And he says, and over these presidents of whom Daniel refers, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel, which was preferred above the presidents, princes, because of an excellent spirit was in him, the king thought to set him over the whole realm. There was something different about this young man, Daniel. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither were there any error or fault found in him. He's living a good, godly life. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of God. Then the presidents, princes assembled together to the king and said unto, thus unto King Darius, live forever. And all the princes and kingdoms, governors, princes, and captains had consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any God a man for 30 days saving thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medians and Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Remember, the writing by the devil has been signed because because Jesus was hanging on the cross. It's been signed. The devil is real, y'all. He's real. He's an evil force right now against us. But David knew the writing had been signed. We got to know that the writing of evil has been signed, and the devil is walking loose on this world trying to take us out. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is roaring loud, seeking whom he may abide. Look back to Daniel. He went as over and opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled to his knees 3 times a day and prayed. So what he's doing is kneeling in homage and respect to God. But look where he's looking. He gave thanks before his God. He's looking there. He's looking to the hills from which cometh his help. These men then assemble, found Daniel praying. That's what y'all find us doing, praying and making that supplication before God in the time that we're living in. Then they came and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Has that not sounded the decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or a man within 30 days, saving thee, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions? They answered and said, the king, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altered not. Then answered they said before the king that Daniel, God dang it, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regard it not. That God dang it, is not doing what you told the devil. O king, nor the decree I have signed, but making his petition, he looked to the hill 3 times a day. He looked 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, so displeased with himself, set his heart on the day to deliver him and labor till the going and down of the sun. When you let the word of God penetrate your heart, the devil's not going to be happy with you by letting me change your way of thinking this morning through this preached word. We got you from looking down, and I got you looking up, and the devil's not happy when you look into the true God of heaven. Then these men assembled unto the king, said unto the king, verse 15, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king brought Daniel, cast him in the dens of lions. Here you go. Here comes his punishment for looking to the hill. Now the king spake unto Daniel, that God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He's trying to be sarcastic. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him to the lion. Then the father, the king said, that God whom thou servest continually will deliver thee. Now verse 17, and a stone was brought. They're going to do everything they can to make sure he can't get out on his own. Laid upon the mouth of the knees, and the king sealed them with signet, the signet of his Lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither was instruments of music brought before him. He had already seen God work, y'all. He had already seen. And his sleep went from him. He worried because God, he know God. This God, Daniel, served, is capable of getting him out of this line. Then the king arose very early in the morning with haste. He wanted to see to Judea's lines. And when verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. And the king said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is that God whom thou servest continually able to deliver you from these lines? And then Daniel speaks to the king. He said, O king, live forever. My God is the same one David was talking about, the same one I'm telling you about, the same God that David looked at, that Daniel looked at, that Moses looked at, Shadrach looked at him, Abednego saw him, they saw him with their mind's eye, Moses saw him, Noah saw him, all the men of God saw him, and now Daniel says, my God. And he had to take it personal. That God that you're looking is your God. He had sent his angel. Daniel said he sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him, his innocency was found in me. God, the devil cannot hurt us if we keep our eye look to the hills. Then the king exceedingly glad for him, commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And no matter who found him, but here it is. The eyes of faith. This verse here, verse 23. Because. See it? Y'all there? Verse 23. Because. Why did God move? Why did God lock the lion's mouth? Why did God take care of him? Because he believed. It is God. That's what I'm telling y'all. This is the crust of this study. Then when you look to God, you're looking by faith and a system that belief that says no matter what pain I am, no matter what I'm going through, my God is able to deliver me. Let's go back to Psalms. David went on to say in verse 3, Psalm 121, verse 3, he would not suffer that foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee would not slumber. Who's talking about? The God I just told you about. God is our keeper. Yes, brothers and sisters, we ought to help each other, but God is our keeper. He would not suffer our foot to be moved. God is able to keep our foot on the right track if we just follow him. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man, look at this, are ordered by the Lord. You want some help? You want to look up to the hills? You're going to do that this morning. You got to understand that you got to follow the law of God. Let God tell you how to live. And he delighted in his way. Who is ordering your steps this morning? Where are you at in your life? Where are you looking at for your help? What are you doing? David said, God will not slumber. He's our helper. He's our keeper. He never goes to sleep. David said on another occasion in Psalm 139 and verse 11, if I say surely, darkness shall cover me. Even night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shining as the day, and the darkness or the light, and the light are both alike to thee. See, no matter how dark of a situation you're in, when you look to the hill, when you look up, when you lift up your eyes, the light comes. You'll see light. You'll see a way out of your situation. This is what I'm trying to get us to see, y'all. We've been through some difficult times, but let's remember that we got to keep looking where the light's at. The light isn't in God. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. I recommend the God of heaven who will never go to sleep on you in the daytime or the nighttime. Psalm 121, verse 5, as I hasten toward the call. He says this. The Lord is thy helper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. Here it is, brothers and sisters. Here's your keeper. It's the Lord. My question to the listening audience this morning, and we got Lord's call. A lot of people listening to us through this conference call has been a blessing, even though you can focus on the negative. Or you can look at how many people that we are reaching that will never look to God by coming to the building. God gave us an opportunity to work within his will. And we have to accept the pandemic is in his will. It's called the permissive will. God permit things to happen to people. His purpose is to get our attention off of evil and onto him. Will you let God in your situation this morning? Will you let him help you? The shade David talks about. The Lord is our shade upon the right hand. Shade, if you ever been in the heat of the day, you look for a shade tree to give you a break from that heat. When the sun is beaming and the rays are beating upon your body, in this life, when the sun is beaming and the rays are beating upon your life, God is your shade tree. He can bring great relief when the sun of life is beaming in your life. Somebody this morning, you got a beam of depression. You're down in a dark place. You're depressed. It's the beam. It's the beam from the heat that's coming into your life. And I'm saying to you, look for the shade tree. You got to look up to see the shade. You got to look up to see your help. There's the beam of sadness coming into your life this morning. You're sad because of something that has happened in your life. Perhaps it's something going on in your household. Perhaps it's something going on in your marriage. Perhaps it's something going on in your personal life. Perhaps it's something going on with your physical life, with your sickness, and you're in this place of sadness. Perhaps it's something going on in your family. It's your children, or it's their grandchildren. Somebody in your family had brought great sadness to you, the way they treat you, the way they talked about you, or the way something's going. You know you didn't do anything wrong. Or maybe your mother, you've been praying for your children, and it seems they don't listen to you. And you're in this place, the sun is hot. It's beaming on you and your children. And I'm saying to you, the shade tree. The shade is where you got to go. You got to go, and you can't go until you look up. You got to look up to God. Then they got the beam of grief. Oh, how deep grief can take us. Oh, I can preach on a personal level in that. Something you can't talk about until you have been there. The beam of grief can be so powerful. It can be so gut-wrenching. It can take you to places you never knew you'd ever be in. You've been in a deep place. You're crying. You're mourning. You don't know what to do. You adopt your loved one. You want them back so bad. You wish you'd have done something different. You wish there was a way to change the situation. They're not coming back. You got to face the reality. You got to get on the shade tree. You got to go to your shade now because you got the beam of grief coming on you. What God is saying through David to us this morning, don't look to no one else other than God. Look to God. Look up, brothers and sisters. And we are all with the pandemic. So many that have lost loved ones. So many have fallen to death because of COVID. Because of everything going on and other things. But you know it's appointed unto man once to die. People are going to die. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen to our family. But what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, it's okay to cry. It's not wrong. Crying is not the problem. Mourning is not a problem. You see, when you go to a funeral, they try to change that and say, oh, this is a homegoing celebration. It's no time to be crying. That's not what God said. God said the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. God wants us to cry. He wants us to have that loss in our life because it brings us closer to Him. And listen very carefully. No matter how much pain the loss of that loved one brought to your life, if you're closer to God, I say if because it's your choice, if you're closer to God, if you're praying more, if you're on this call seeking help from God, the best thing to happen to you, to take this like I'm saying it, is the loss of that loved one. It's the most terrible thing I know. No. That's the part that hurts. What I'm telling you to do is look at who allowed it and look at what He wants. What is His will? That you serve Him and that you come close to Him and that you pray to Him and you get with His people and God will be your comforter. He wants to be your comforter. He can provide for you. He can take care of you. He can deliver you. But you got to look to Him. So God allowed things to come into our life, just like the Job, the famous story of Job. He lost 10 children on one day. None of us probably could handle that. Because to lose one is so hard. But I can't speak about losing a child. But to lose a wife, or lose a husband, or lose a mother, or to lose a father, or to lose a sister, I can speak on those matters. Yet with all of that around us, it's the heat from it that can destroy us. Because if we stay out in the heat, we'll miss the shade. And you ain't going to find the shade until you look for it. Metaphorically speaking, God is your shade tree. He is the one who can do it. He can break the sorrow or the heartbreak. He can bring you to a good place where you can be like Paul. You can say, I know I'm going all through all this. You can be like Paul and say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You could be like Job. You could be like Daniel. My God. My God. See, what I want you to lead this call with this morning is about you and your God. What you believe about your God? Do you believe he's able? Listen to name. The servant shall not smite thee by day or night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. What is God really trying to say? Our physical body? No, it's our soul. That's why the physical really doesn't matter. It's about our soul. This life is going to be short. It's just a vapor. It's your soul. It's your inner person that got to connect within your mind, within your heart. You got to connect to your deliverer. You got to connect to the God that's able. That's what this means when I say, if you lift up your eyes, you have lifted up your mind to connect with God. And when you connect with God, the Word of God can enter into your hearts. And when you receive it with meekness, talking about your mind, it's able to provide comfort and consolation. It's able to bring you to a state where you can say, everything's going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. In verse 8 of this great psalm, David said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this forth, time forth, even furthermore. God, David said, the Lord shall preserve. The Lord's going to take care of me. He's going to do it. You don't have to worry about nothing. He's going to take care of me. He's going to preserve you going out and coming to you from time to time forth. And even forever more. It's a lifelong, eternity type relationship that you see. And I'm going to leave you this morning as I close with this short lesson of faith. With one of the greatest texts I love to preach from is found in Deuteronomy chapter 29, 28. If everyone will close, go there, I'll close with this verse. And let this lesson be yours to simmer and for you to chew on this morning, this bread of life. The principle that I'm getting ready to read about. Principle of God, about God and his children and what he can do for them when they look to him for help. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the verse 1, the Bible says, it shall come to pass. Notice this. If it's conditional, it's up to you. If thou shalt hearken diligently, if you just listen to the voice of the Lord our God, and not only listen, but to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. First point, if you listen to the word of God and take it in and be a doer, get baptized, become a member of one true church, live like God told you to live. Observe his commandments. Taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Those are commandments. If you do all these things, the principle here says, God said, I'll set you on high. If you just do everything I told you, if you just keep my word, if you just listen to my voice, I'll set you on high above all nations of the earth. And then he said in verse 2, and all these blessings. Notice that he just gave a multiplicity of blessings shall come on thee and overtake. God said, I sense so. When you look to me for help and you do what I tell you to do, I see so many blessings to your life that those blessings will overtake you if you just hearken to me. God said, if you just listen to me, Israel, I'll take care of you. I'll send so many blessings. And then he started listening. In verse 3, he said, blessed that shall thou be in the city. He said, if you just do what I said, if you just keep my word, hallelujah, and to listen to God. He said, God is saying to us through this principle, and then we just do his word, he'll bless Houston. He'll bless the city you live in. He'll bless Dallas if you're on. He'll bless West Texas if you're on. He'll bless whoever's on, California, Florida, whoever. He said, I'll bless your nation. I'll bless your city. I'll bless that being that field, the food that you eat, that you grow in the field. God said, he told them, I'll bless the fruit of your body. I'll bless your kids if you just keep my word. If you just hearken to my voice. If you do everything I tell you to do. I'll take care of your children. I'll take the fruit of your ground. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. I'll take the fruit of that cattle. I'll give you some ribeye steak. I increase that kind and the flocks of that sheep. God said, I'll provide for you. All you got to do, the principle is that you do everything I tell you to do. I'll send blessings that will overtake you. I'll bless your city. I'll bless the field. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your ground. I'll bless your cattle. I'll bless your flock. He said, I'll bless thee when you go up that basket. Verse 5, he said, blessed shall be that basket in our store. God said, when you push your basket in Kroger, when you push your basket in HEB, God said, I'm going to bless everything you put in it. If you just do my work, do what I say. If you just observe my commandments, if you just hear my voice, I will bless the basket going in to a Kroger. I'll bless it on the way out. I'll bless it when I get you, when you're at the checkout stand. I'll bless it there. God said, I'm going to bless. Then verse 6, here come another. He said, I'll bless it out when I come and see you. I'm going to bless you. When that goes out, God said, I'm going to bless you on your way home from work. I'm going to bless you on your way to work. I'm going to bless you on your way to wherever you're going. I'm going to bless you on your way back to where you're coming. God said, just wherever you go, if you just do what I say, like we just keep God's word, he's going to bless us. He'll bless everything we do. He'll bless what we touch if we just do what he tells us to do. He says, the Lord shall call down enemies. I like this. Rise up against thee. Be smitten before thy face. Thou shalt come out, they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven different ways. On the line that God said, it don't matter who you think is against you right now. I know some of them be asking for, I'm going through it, and this person is doing this to me, and this is going on in my life. Pray for me. Pray for the enemies. Pray for those attacking me. But no, baby, it ain't about the prayer no more. It's maybe that, did you listen to God's word? Are you observing his command? Are you doing what he told you to do? If you're doing, God said, you don't have to worry about your enemies. They can come at you seven. He said, they can come at your enemy. They'll come at you one way. But when I get through whooping them, when I get through dealing with them, when they deal with your God, they're going to leave seven different ways. God said, there's no way the devil can win if you keep me first. That's what he tells me. You got to quit blaming other people. They ain't your problem. The other people ain't your problem. Our enemies ain't our problem. Many of us, the problem with many of us is we're not doing what God told us to do. Because God said, if you just do what I say, if you keep my word, if you hearken to my commands, I'll bless you. I'll send blessings to overtake you. When your enemy come at you one way, you'll leave seven different ways. He can't handle me. And the Lord shall establish their holy people. And God said, verse 8, he said, here you come. He said, God, the Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouses. All that I set the hands on to do, he shall bless thee in the land of work, which the Lord our God giveth thee. God said, I'll send so many blessings. It's one thing when you get a blessing, but it's another thing when God said, I'm commanding this blessing on this person. God commanded a blessing. How many of y'all can look at a blessing and say, man, God had to command that blessing? I didn't see that blessing coming. I didn't see no way out of this situation, but I prayed. I was faithful to God, and God commanded a blessing that I never thought would I get. God gave me some things I never thought I'd ever receive. That because God commanded that blessing on your life. He can command a blessing on you this morning if you just do what he says. If you just do what he says, you bless him. He can bless your life. He can bless everything you touch, he says. Everything you put your hand on, God said, I'll bless it if you just do my word. The Lord shall establish your holy people unto you. He told Israel, he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of thy God and walk in his ways, God says, I will command blessings. They'll overtake you. I'm going to bless your city. I'm going to bless your field. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your food. I'm going to bless your money. I'm going to bless your shopping. I'm going to bless when you're coming. I'm going to bless you when you're going. I'm going to bless you when somebody trying to come against you, because you are my child. And all I want you to do is lift up your eyes unto the hills, for it's coming to him. Your help coming from the Lord. Do I have any men and women on the call today? Perhaps I came into your life this morning and you was in a bad place for this message. But I'm encouraging you this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter if it's your marriage, no matter if it's your wife, no matter if it's your husband, no matter if it's your children, no matter if it's death, no matter if it's grief, no matter if it's a cancer report, no matter if you're sick, no matter if you're conscious, no matter if it's an issue, a financial issue, no matter if it's something going on, no matter if you're concerned about the world coming to an end, you understand this much. What I'm trying to get you to do is this. Look up to the hill and become a man or woman of faith. Who are you saying? As we sung, everything gonna be all right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I've been refocused and I'm taking my mind off the enemy. I'm taking my mind off the cancer. I'm taking my mind off the grief. And I'm gonna refocus this morning. I'm taking my mind off my marriage. And I'm gonna refocus. And I'm going to look to you. And I pray you command your blessings upon my life. If you were that person on the call this morning, and you was in a dark place, and I brought light to it this morning, and you want to become a Christian, the first thing to hearken to God's word is to obey his command. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you must believe Jesus when he said this to all of us, which I am a gospel preacher, going to all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. When you preach the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is the good news that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16, that his son came and lived among men. That son, in the person of Jesus the Christ, came and lived on this earth. He walked among men. He knew no wrong. He did no wrong. But he knew without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. They led another sheep to the slaughter. Before his shearers dumb, he would open not his mouth. They would slap him. They would mock him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, whip him with a whip, put the tree of the cross on his back. He would walk down the winding streets of Jerusalem, the Val Dolorosa. And there, he'd get to Calvary. And they would drive nails into our Lord's hand, and you see this called crucifixion. He went there for you, and he went there for me. And they would hang him on that cross between those two thieves. And he was hanging there for you and for me. And if you're on the call this morning, you believe that with all of your heart. Then believe that he died on that cross. Believe that he buried him in a barren tomb. And that Sunday morning, on the first day of the week, he got up with all power. And he told us to go tell you the story. This good news called the gospel, that I came to seek and save the lost. If you were number one, hear it. Romans 10:17, here comes your faith die. Then number two, you got to believe in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith is impossible, please God. You got to believe in Jesus you never saw. You got to believe he came and died for you. Number three, you got to repent right where you are right now. Say, Lord, I don't want to leave this call like I came on it. I repent of my sins. You need to do that. You need to do that right in your heart, in your mind. Say, I'm going to repent right now. I'm going to look to God. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm starting to look to God. I got distracted, Brother Brooks. But I want to come to it. What I need to do to be his child, be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God before me. And then after that, you must be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 says baptism is for the remission of sin. It's in baptism that you start your walk with God. When you start your walk with God, he'll add you to a faith of believers called the Church of Christ. And that's who we are. And we pray together. We pray for you. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. And there are times when we dream together. Now, how's it going to be when we get to heaven? When the saved get to heaven, as God's family. Do you want to be in that family? You got to do it this morning. Hit 5-star on your phone and say, I want to lift up my eyes this morning, and I want to give my body to be buried with Christ. And we just helped the young lady at Pensacola, Florida. We reached out to the preacher down there, Michael Shepherd. They took care of it. No matter where you are, now listen on, we can get someone to you and get you baptized. You don't have to worry about, wait, now I'm going to say this to you. If you know you need to get baptized and you say, well, I'm going to do it next Sunday, you missed the whole point of baptism. You won't, the next Sunday ain't promised. You are not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the next 30 minutes. Anybody who say they're going to wait, don't believe that they're going to die in their sins. You can die in your sins at any time. If you see the danger of being in a burning house, you don't say, I'm going to get out next week. You get out the very moment you see the danger going to kill you. If you see your soul is lost, this morning is your time to get out that burning house. You get out by saying, I'm ready to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that blood will quench that fire. It cannot kill you no more. You're saved once you obey to God and water the grave of baptism. Then, Lord, they were added to the church. Then to members of the church. Of course, we all, men and women, face. Sometimes we have to be reminded. Even Brother Brooks. Sometimes we have to be reminded. You're going through your dark period, all of us. I have to be reminded. You got to be reminded that you got to start looking to your healing. You'll stay in that dark, deep place. Go ahead. This morning, we want you to do this. If you're a member of the Church of Christ and you need to say, brother, sister, I'm starting to look to God. I was looking at the wrong places. I don't know what you need to say. You may need to say, yeah, pray for me, or thank God for this blessing, or I just need God right now closer to me. You want us to pray for you? The Bible tells us this. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to the prayer. Watch what prayer can do. God said, if you just do what I say, I will command that blessing. Oh, I'm excited myself to be a child of God. Are you excited? When you come, when you come, we're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement. Hit 5-star. Think of getting up out of your seat, walking to the front of the building. I'm going to hit 5-star and tell them right here from my home, I need to know how to get to know God. I want to get to know him this morning. Baptism, or I just need to talk to the church to pray on my behalf or on behalf of someone you love. Do that as together we sing this song and hit 5-star as a way to raise your hand.